And the smart ones?
They rut with anyone who wants to. Especially sect men.
He unslung his long blaster and pointed it at Christy.
Sect men like you.
I knew you were a smart one.
He replaced the long blaster on his shoulder.
What do you want me to do?
You can go down on me for a start.
Christy better understood the pre-dark theory now. If she cooperated with the sect man, he'd put himself in a vulnerable position. Already the man had his blaster over his shoulder, instead of in his hands, and pointed at her head.
Well, all right.
She walked to the bed, sat on the edge, and beckoned him with a curl of her right index finger. The sect man joined her, undid his belt, which held a hunting knife and several boxes of ammo, and unbuttoned his pants. Christy decided to feign breathlessness.
Let me see it, stud.
Without hesitation, the man let his pants fall, allowing his erection to bob and waver in front of her like a flagpole in the wind.
Do you like it, bitch?
Oh, yeah.
She reached out with her hands, taking hold of his penis with her left hand and hefting his scrotum in her right.
What's my reward for doing this?
For starters, you won't get beat as bad as the others do.
Oh, that sounds fair.
You bet it is.
And that's when Christy simultaneously squeezed and twisted as if she were wringing water from a damp towel. The sec man let out a yelp, his body snapping straight and unable to move. Christy gave him another hard twist, the force of it lifting him onto his toes. Sweat began to bead on his forehead, and tears leaked from his eyes. She let go of his scrotum and reached down with her right hand to pull his knife from its sheath. It was a 4-inch hunting knife with a serrated edge on one side and a straight edge on the other. She came up with the knife quickly, slashing it from right to left, slicing off the tip of the sec man's penis. She let go, pushed him away with a hard shove, and slid the knife under the bed. He stumbled backward and reached down between his legs to grab hold of his severed member. He tried to staunch the flow of blood with his hands, but it still flowed freely through his fingers and down the insides of his legs. He screamed again, holding himself with one hand and trying to pull up his pants with the other. He finally let go of his pants and brought around his long blaster.
Rat! Blasted slut!
The door burst open, and a second sect man entered the room. Christy recognized him as the sect chief named Grundwald.
Put it down!
But she cut me!
Did she reach into your pants and pull it out for you, too?
He was going to hurt me, maybe even chill me. I was only defending myself.
The sect chief looked at his sect man with contempt.
Get out of here! Before the Baron hears about this.
He pushed the bleeding man in the direction of the door.
But I...
Never mind! Or maybe you want to explain to the Baron what just happened here.
Dolby left without another word. Once outside the room, the injured man grunted and groaned his way down the hall. Grundwald stopped in the doorway before he left the room.
You try and relax. Maybe get some sleep. The Baron wants you looking your best.
That's very kind of him.
The sec chief nodded and left the room, closing the door behind him. Christy fished under the bed for the knife. She wiped off the blood and slipped it into her boot. It would definitely come in handy. Ryan was having troubles of his own. Although he was doing his best to do the job that was required of him and be as inconspicuous as possible while doing it, the addition of a new slave was bound to attract attention. A woman with scraggly brown hair came toward him.
Are you spoken for?
She was obviously several months pregnant and wasn't too concerned about concealing the fact, or she would have felt the need to cover her bloated breasts, which rested on her distended belly like eggs in a frying pan.
Yes, I am.
Who? You just arrived. How could you?
You can't rut with him!
A second woman cut her off. She was younger by about 10 years, rake thin, and without child. Ryan noticed that she had fiery red hair like Christy, and a scar running down her face like his. It was quite uncanny.
That's not your choice to make. You're already heavy. But I want him. He's strong and handsome, maybe even a little mysterious.
But if the Baron catches you rutting without permission while you're already heavy, he'll chain you up until you birth.
Who's going to know? Who'll tell the Baron? You?
I'll have to. It's my duty.
Why, you bitch!
She threw her fist forward and caught the other woman flush in the nose. Blood began to drain from one of the younger woman's nostrils, but that wasn't stopping the older woman from trying to hit her again. The young woman dropped to the ground and took the older one's legs out from under her with a spinning leg trip. The older woman fell on her rear, and her enlarged breasts seemed to bounce and jiggle for the longest time. The younger woman was about to give her a hard kick in the abdomen when another slave came by to break up the fight.
That's enough, both of you!
He gave the smaller woman a stiff kick in the legs. Seeing this, Ryan jumped down from the tree he was working on.
Hey!
You stay out of this, one eye!
He gave each of the women another kick in the legs, and they finally stopped clawing at each other. Ryan wasn't impressed with the man's arrogance. He was a big man, well-muscled, with a body covered with scars, including several around his neck. There were leathery stripes of healed-over flesh down and across his back, likely the result of dozens, maybe even hundreds of lashes inflicted by Sekhmen over the years. He had short-cropped hair and a full beard, and in many ways he reminded Ryan a bit of Major Grigory Zimyanin, which gave Ryan all the more reason to stop the man from beating the two women.
Your next kick will be your last.
The big man ignored Ryan's comment and pulled the two women apart. The women were done fighting, but still eyed each other warily.
Jasmine, you know you can't run until you birth the child. If you need to run after that, it can be arranged. I could even see to it personally.
He helped her off the ground and sent her on her way. Then he turned to the other woman.
And I swear, Deborah, if you hurt Jasmine's offspring in any way, you won't be running with anybody, not even this one-eyed freak, for a long, long time.
Deborah looked up at Ryan with something like fire in her eyes.
You can't...
There'll be plenty of time to rut with a one-eyed dog later. He's not going anywhere.
The young woman still didn't seem satisfied, but she stomped off without further protest. When she was gone, Andy turned to face Ryan.
This is my work detail, newbie. I keep the peace here any way I see fit, including giving breeders a kick when they got it coming.
And what are the Sekhmen for?
To make sure no one tries to escape. As long as our group makes our quotas, they don't give a shit what goes on between us.
Ryan stepped forward, halving the distance between them.
Including when one of you gets chilled?
Without warning, Andy threw a punch at Ryan's head. Ryan dodged the blow and struck Andy's head with his left elbow. There was a definite crack of bone on impact, and Andy fell to the ground, dazed and unable to get up. Ryan broke a branch up a nearby tree and was about to run the jagged edge of it through Andy's ribs when a Sekhmen fired a round at Ryan. The bullet zinged past the one-eyed man's head and slammed into the peach tree behind him, sending splinters in every direction.
Leave him alone! Get back to work!
Ryan tossed aside the branch and stepped away from the still groaning Andy. The Sekhmen helped Andy to his feet, and although the big man didn't say anything, the look in his eyes told Ryan that it wasn't over between them. It was only beginning.
What's your name, young lady?
Clarissa.
She was probably in her early 20s and had dirty blonde hair that was all in a tangle. Her clothes were pretty worn out, with large tears in both her t-shirt and pants. And although dirty, her skin was clean of any signs of rad sickness. She looked pretty much like a norm, but one could never tell in the Deathlands.
Why were you throwing rocks at us?
It wasn't just me throwing rocks. There are muties out there too, you know.
All right then, why were you and the muties throwing rocks?
To get your food.
But we hardly have any food.
You've got more than we have, and that's enough. We watched you eat and wanted some of it.
Then you were going to get it by throwing rocks?
I thought we could scare you off. You know, force you to leave a few crumbs behind.
With rocks?
Clarissa shrugged.
We're hungry. We'll try anything to get some food.
What do you mean, we? You don't mean to say you're actually friendly with these creatures.
Of course I am. Especially Shiva. She can talk. Shiva!
The four men grabbed for their blasters as the trees began to rustle behind the girl. Then, all of a sudden, a furry shape appeared from the overgrowth, as tall as a human, but obviously not. This creature had fur of several different shades of color and sharp-edged cutting tools around its waist.
You don't need your weapons. She won't attack you unless I say so.
JB just looked at the mutie, trying to figure out what he was seeing. Something in the back of his mind registered a familiar sensation, as if he had seen this creature before. But try as he might, his mind just couldn't seem to connect with the memory. And strangely, the more he concentrated on the mutie, the cloudier his thoughts became. Eventually, he had to refocus his attention on the young woman. Shaking off his reverie, he returned to observing the girl. She didn't seem afraid or even worried about what his friends might do to her, and although she was definitely a